Welcome to the Illuminated Word Podcast. In this podcast, we take a reading from Scripture each day. We look at the background material to that passage and also application for us. Once again, welcome to the Illuminated Word Podcast.
Our reading today comes from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 18. And it is a Friday here on our podcast, and I'm welcoming Philip with me on Friday. Philip, how are you doing this morning?
Doing pretty good.
It's great to see you, my friend, and I'm excited about what we're going to talk about. Philip brings an insight in this passage, I think, that really ties it all together. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But just a quick recap where we are. We are coming up right after Elijah's showdown with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, the great victory of God. God vindicates his prophet. And the people answer conclusively that the Lord is their God. So there's this huge moment of excitement probably for the prophet of God, a victory for him. And so his expectations are probably really high. And now we're going to turn to chapter 19. And quite possibly his expectations are dashed with just a few comments. So we'll jump into that with our reading. We're going to read through these 18 verses. Once again, 1 Kings 19. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on a hot stone and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. There he came to a cave and lodged in it. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and a strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. But after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshah, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Melahah, you shall anoint to be the prophet in your place. And the one who escaped from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escaped the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So, Philip, this is a lengthy reading. We've talked about that. A lot of verses, a lot of things going on, shifts in narrative and where we are in the story. And we see that Elijah says twice he has a zeal for the Lord, and we would probably agree he does have a zeal for God, but he lacks something. Philip, what is that thing that Elijah is tend to be lacking in this story?
Well, there may be several ways to look at it, that he doesn't completely understand who God is and what God can do, or the bigger issue to me seems to be that he just loses his focus on what his job is and how he's been empowered to do his job. I think it's interesting that this passage, and sort of summing up the previous part, starts off with Ahab recognizing what Elijah has done and tells the whole story. Here's this powerful, powerful victory that Elijah has been a part of. And yet the words of this woman turn him into jelly. He's rushed down there because he's just so, his adrenaline's so high. He's so full of what God has been able to accomplish with him. I mean, all during this drought, God's taken care of him miraculously. He's raised somebody from the dead. He's had all these momentous things happen. And all of a sudden, he's like a child who's forgotten who has taken care of him. And so he takes off and runs. And he, if my geography is correct, what he's done is got just as far from Jezebel as he could go. And he left his servant at that point, and then he goes outside of Israel all the way down into the wilderness without anything to eat, without anything to drink, and he knows where what kind of land it is. And evidently he's thinking he'll just go out there and die. And it's a pity party of immense proportions, because he's just totally forgotten who he is. And I don't mean who he is as a person, but who he is in the sense that he's God's man. And that it's God, it's not Elijah that wielded all this power, that he now thinks he doesn't have any power over Jezebel. It was God who wielded the power, and he knows that. Why doesn't he believe that God can wield this power over Jezebel? So he says, it's enough. It's enough. I thought, what an interesting statement. Yeah. What's enough? Feeding you for 3 years in a famine, feeding you and a widow and raising somebody from the dead, that's enough. Killing 400 prophets, having fire come down from heaven, devour up a sacrifice, is that enough? Yeah, it is enough. So why are you squeamish? Why are you afraid? Because it is enough. And he's saying that as if it isn't. Or as if, well, I've had enough and that's all I can do. And now I'm just going to die. I'm no better off than my fathers were. And he went and lay down and went to sleep expecting to die. And then the most amazing thing happens. Jesus taught us to pray for our daily bread, and what shows up? All during that drought and famine in the land, God fed him every single day. There was a jar of oil and there was a thing of flour, and they never ran out. Every day there was today's bread. And here it is again. When he was on the brook, the ravens brought him food every day. They didn't bring him a week's worth daily bread. And here it is again. He is oblivious, lack of focus. And he looks up and there's this cake baked, same thing he's been eating before, and a jar of water. And he ate it and lay down. Then he got it again. And then God told him, you're going to take a journey. So he does that, and he gets all the way down to Horeb, to Mount Sinai in Saudi Arabia. And he, out there in the middle of nowhere, he finds a cave and he crawls in it, and his object is still the same. God said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? I don't necessarily mean Sinai. I think he means in a cave. Why are you hiding?
Yeah.
Why are you hiding? And he says, everybody's turned away, even though he's just had this great victory. It's as if that's all washed out. Just because Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you. And he says, I'm the only one left. It's just me. And so I might as well die because she's gonna kill me. And God said, you get out of the cave. Yeah. Get out of the cave. Stand outside. And so he does. And here comes all these loud, boisterous sights. Those are the things that Elijah's been practicing. He had the fire come down from heaven, and all these great things occurred. The rain came, and all this power is displayed. But God's not in that. He's not in the noise. He's not in the wind. He's not in the earthquake. He's not in the fire. And then there's this little whisper. And lo and behold, God is in the whisper, which I think should remind us that, you know, we live our lives appreciating God in the storms. That's where we look for God. So when a storm comes, we're looking for God. When terrible problems come, we're looking for God. But on a normal day, when there's only a whisper, we just go about our business. We don't see God in the whisper. Like Elijah, we're only focused on God when there's a terrible need, not for our daily bread. And I think that was said. So what do we see then in this? I think we see that there can be a lack of focus in living the Christian life. And that we spend a lot of time trying to refocus. And I mentioned to you earlier, you see that in Peter when he sees Jesus on the water and he says, bid me come out to you. And Jesus says, come on. And he gets out and walks across the water. And that was no mean feat. And he did that because he was focused. And I don't know how far he could have walked. He could have walked all the way across that lake, I believe, had he stayed focused. But the minute he thought about Peter and not about God, when he thought about Peter's problems and not the fact that the reason he was walking on the water was because God was allowing a miracle to occur, he began to sink. And that's very descriptive of our behavior. We talked last week, didn't we, about the hills, being on the mountaintop experiences. And most of us live our life in the valley. And in the valley, we don't seem to focus very well. We only focus when we're up on the hill. That's why we don't find God in the valley. We don't find God in the whisper, because that's not where our focus is. And how do we get that focus? I think prayer helps us focus. Praying every day, praying more than once a day, reading the scriptures help us focus. Worshiping together helps us focus. Seeking God first in everything helps us focus. But the minute we turn our eyes and our mind and our hearts to the world, we lose focus and we will not hear God in the whisper.
I think you're exactly right. And I think there's something in this passage that goes right to what you're saying. Jezebel sends the messenger, and in Hebrew it's the melech. She sends a messenger of doom and destruction. You know, she's going to kill him, and he's terrified. And it's funny, when he takes his nap, it's a messenger from God. It's really, the word is translated as angel, but it's the same word that Jezebel sends a melech. God sends a melech, a messenger, and the message is different. To eat, you know, basically, you're going to be okay, Elijah. You know, here's your daily provision, but it kind of goes back to, which message are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to the message of the world, that distracts us, that takes us off the mission? Are we going to listen to the message of God? And I think you're dead on in your assessment of prayer and Bible study, communal habits with other people, redirect us to that message. Are we listening? Are we seeing it from God's reality? You know, Elijah had zeal, and he had that zeal for the mountaintop where he was ready to kill the prophets of Baal and stand strong. But in those low moments, it's where he tends to fail. It's when things didn't turn out the way he thought they were going to turn out. Then he's ready to run. And this is, I believe, the first time in the narrative Elijah is not on a journey that God is sending him. He's on his own now. This running down to south of Beersheba is all on him. This is not what God told him to do.
Well, you know, if we're always trying to look for something for us to gain from this, and I think your point is well taken. When you leave God's journey and you take your own, you go downhill. Not going to be any mountaintop experiences when you do that.
Right.
You go downhill. And you're going to wind up where Elijah wound up, which is in a cave hiding.
Yeah. Thinking you're the only one left. I thought that was interesting too.
Yeah.
We've probably all been there before. I'm the only one that cares about this. Or I'm the only one doing this kind of work or putting this much effort into it. And he's reminded, it's kind of funny because, you know, God names off a few people. He needs to go anoint, you know, there's another prophet coming, Elisha, and there's 7,000 more. There are guys out there. He's forgotten about all, you know, the people that come before in the narrative, Othniel and others that are faithful to God. And now all of a sudden he's the only one left.
Well, I don't know that very many of us experience that exactly, but certainly I think we're liable to get to the point where we see all the evil around us and we think that we're losing. And maybe one of the reasons that Paul would say, Lord, come quickly, or that John would say, Lord, come quickly. Because we see all this evil around us and we think that we're losing the fight.
Yeah.
That's, you know, so we go hide in a cave. And a lot of people have tried to do that. And even for those of us who don't do that exactly, we live our lives in fear of the world and of death, disbelieving that we're actually winning. Elijah was winning, but felt like a loser. Just take my life, he said. I'm not fit to die. I killed all those prophets, I did all that, and Jezebel's now going to kill me, so what was the point? And we can't live that way, which is why we need the focus.
Yeah.
We need the focus.
Exactly right.
And we need to focus on the fact that we're in a battle, but we're not losing.
We know the outcome of this. We win.
We win.
We win.
Get out of the cave, you know, and quit listening. Quit trying to find God in storms and powerful events. Wars and calamities and disasters. Find God in the daily bread. Find God in the quiet messenger that comes.
Jonathan Edwards was big about that, finding God and listening to the voice of God in the common everyday events of life.
That's right.
Whether when he was riding his horse or out walking in the fields and observing the beauty of nature, it was finding God in those quiet experiences. It's not in those explosive events, but in the everyday, what we would consider to be mundane parts of life actually are shot through with the glory of God.
I also think it's maybe a little stretch, but still interesting that Elijah's in the cave, and when God shows up, God says, get out of the cave.
Yeah. I find that interesting too. He makes him come out.
Yeah. Get out of the cave.
and he keeps asking him, and Elijah keeps saying the same thing, the same answer. And so God's correcting that assessment of Elijah, that poor mouthing, you know, I.
Well, onward Christian soldiers, you can't fight battles hiding in the stockade.
Amen.
Well, you got to get out there and face it.
Well, my goodness,
we're just like Elijah, we're completely overshadowed by this great God who has already claimed victory and who is going to see us through. We don't need to run and hide. We don't need to wring our hands and cry, woe is me.
Well,
the only time that's probably appropriate is the time of Isaiah, who said, woe is me, I'm undone, for I'm a man of unclean lips. But we don't need to do that in the face of the devil.
Amen. Only in the face of the holiness of God.
That's right.
We're confronted with that.
That's right.
Well, Philip, I appreciate today. And it's been, once again, a wonderful insight as we take this with us into the weekend and contemplate this story and the idea of focus and Elijah. Once again, I want to say thank you, Philip. I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Oh, I think I will.
Yes, sir. We're going to work on it. We're going to try. And we want to say thank you to our listeners and invite you back again on Monday as we continue with our readings and learning from God's word. God bless.